You know what was on the jukebox in the front. Now Matt the Cat's gonna show you what was on the juke in the back.
Oh, mercy! I got a feeling this is gonna be a great show, so let's go, baby! I'm Matt the Cat, where it's at, your jukebox operator, welcoming all my cats and kittens to the juke in the back, your weekly source for 1940s and 50s rhythm and blues, or as I like to call it, the soul that came before rock and roll. Each week, the Juke in the Back features an artist spotlight or the history of an important record label. Sometimes various musical styles are highlighted. This week, baby, we begin a behemoth look at arguably the most important and influential rhythm and blues independent record label of all time, Atlantic Records. On previous record label highlight shows, you've heard me say one of the most influential labels when referring to Specialty Records, Aladdin, Modern, Exclusive, Savoy, Imperial, Chess and Checker, VJ, Combo, Dutone, and many more. But really, cats and kittens, truthfully, the granddaddy of them all is Atlantic Records. Founded in October of 1947 by Ahmet Erdogan and Herb Abramson, no independent label did more to bring rhythm and blues into the forefront of popular music, rebranding it rock and roll. And so this week, we begin with part one of a 14-part series covering Atlantic's early years from 1947 through 57. 10 years of some of the greatest rhythm and blues instrumentals, vocal groups, jump blues, and blues shouters you're ever gonna hear. I've been literally planning to do this program for about 11 years now. So without further ado, let's go! Part 1 of Atlantic Records. We begin with co-founder Ahmet Erdogan, born in July of 1923 in Istanbul, Turkey. In 1935, the family was moved from Turkey to Washington, D.C. when Ahmet's father, Munir Erdogan, became the first ambassador to the United States from the Republic of Turkey. While in D.C., Ahmet and his older brother, Nesui, soaked up the black music scene. They hit the jazz clubs, they bought tons of records from the Commodore record shop. Ahmet claimed that they amassed about 15,000 78s. And they even befriended the likes of Duke Ellington and Billie Holiday, Cab Calloway, and the stars of the day. However, in November of 1944, Munir Erdogan died and the family returned to Turkey. Except, Ahmet remained in Washington, D.C., and his brother Nesui moved out to the West Coast to get into the record business. In 1946, Ahmet met Herb Abramson, who was born in Brooklyn, New York in November of 1916. When Herb met Ahmet, he was working as an assistant A&R man for the National record label, signing acts from the Ravens to Big Joe Turner. Herb had the record business experience that Ahmet lacked. Soon, Herb and Ahmet talked about forming their own record label. They would fill in the giant gap left by the majors, RCA, Columbia, Decca, who were only dabbling in black music. Herb and Ahmet's new label would focus on it and promote it. Blues, jazz, and the emerging rhythm and blues scene. Financed by the Erdogan family dentist, they set up shop in New York City and used local studios like radio stations WOR and WMCA to make their first recordings for the newly incorporated Atlantic Records. Ahmet Erdogan passed away at age 83 in 2006, but I was fortunate enough to get to interview him about a year before his death. I asked him about the beginnings of Atlantic Records. So let's hear co-founder Ahmet Erdogan talk about Atlantic Records in his own words.
We started Atlantic as a label that was not just a pure jazz label, but a label which was a multifaceted, and that one of the main activities of Atlantic Records in the very beginning was to address the African American market.
Mm-hmm. You felt that the market had been neglected before?
It was a growing market in the 40s and 50s.
Right. Now, Herb worked for National Records.
Exactly.
As an A&R man, right?
Right.
And is that what got you guys interested?
I tell you, I wanted to start a label. Herb was an old friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nestle and I used to organize jazz concerts in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And Herb was our New York contact. He used to bring the musicians down, make sure that they all congregated at the same place, and bring them down to Washington for our jazz concerts, which featured the best known jazz artists in the world at the time. So Herb was an old friend, and one of the reasons, of course, that I asked him to join me was that he had a lot of experience having worked at National, a lot of experience on the business end of the record business, which I knew nothing about when I started Atlantic Records.
Why the name Atlantic? Is there any history behind the actual name?
Well, frankly, we had five or six other names which we proposed, and we asked to register with the Musicians Union, and they told us that all those names were taken, and we finally said, let's get a generic name that describes where we are or something like that, and we're on the Atlantic coast, so we thought, well, we'll be Atlantic Records as opposed to all the West Coast labels.
Thank you.
Tiny Grimes Quintet with Boogie Woogie Barbecue, Atlantic number 854, the first significant rhythm and blues release from a brand new independent record label, Atlantic Records, as we feature part one of our 14-part series on Atlantic Records, this week on The Juke in the Back. That tune, along with many others, were recorded on December 30th, 1947, one night before the American Federation of Musicians recording ban was to go into effect. On January 1st, 1948, the union ordered all musicians to stop making records. This was to combat a long-running beef that the union had with radio for playing recorded music instead of hiring live musicians. Atlantic, along with all the other record labels of the day, knew the recording ban was coming, and so, during the months of November and December, labels recorded as many sessions as possible in order to have a stockpile of music to release in 1948. Atlantic held 12 overnight sessions to record as much music as they possibly could. This wasn't a great way for a brand new label to begin, and 1948 would prove to be a lackluster year for Atlantic Records. But they did have some fantastic releases, like their next one, number 855, Joe Morris and his orchestra with Low Groovin', named after Washington, D.C. disc jockey Jackson Lowe, who used it for his theme song. And so this one actually began to sell pretty good up and down the East Coast. But in the beginning, Atlantic's record distribution was not great. They didn't have any distribution on the West Coast, so the chance for a national hit was very slim. Let's hear Ahmet Erdogan talk about Atlantic's early days.
We, in the very beginning, the only thing we really were trying to do is to make records that sold enough copies to keep us in business from day to day. You know, we had no master plan of any kind, and we struggled from day to day to make sure that somehow we were making the kind of records that would sell at least enough to pay the rent and keep us going for the toughest years. But by the time, within 2 years or so, we had amassed a good enough roster of artists to ensure our survival. Thank you.
Joe Morris with a fantabulous record, low groovin', filled with some top-notch musicians. That amazing tenor saxophone is blown by the little giant, Johnny Griffin. Griffin had come up through Hampton's band, and when this session was held on December 12, 1947, he was with Joe Morris's orchestra. Griffin would go on to join Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers, as well as release critical and fan favorite albums for Blue Note and Riverside in the 50s and 60s. Up next, the Tiny Grimes Quintet returns with their rendition of the Harold Arlen, Johnny Mercer classic, That Old Black Magic. It was recorded right before the 1948 recording ban on December 30th of 47. Here's Atlantic number 858 as we feature part one of the Atlantic Records story. This week on The Juke in the Back, here's guitarist Tiny Grimes with That Old Black Magic. Generous support for Juke in the Back provided by weekly sustainers Janice Stenhouse, Robert Stallworth, Barry from San Diego, Mr. Lee, David Ayers, Thomas Huber, Joe Metzger, Bernie Rossman, Barry from Riverside, Arnold and Linda Rosenberg, Charles Liebman, Ken Farger, Gail Kuntz, Mark and Marion McAlpine, Glenn Dicker, and contributors Michael Carter, Michael Carey. Thank you for your support. More information at jukeintheback.org.
You're listening to The Juke in the Back with Matt the Cat.
Thank you.
With his only release for Atlantic Records, The Blues That Jack Built. That was recorded at the first session that Atlantic held back in the USA during the recording ban of 1948. It was held on August 1st. Before that, all of Atlantic's sessions held in 1948 during the musician's strike were held in Europe. They had a few jazz sessions held in Paris in mid-1948. The strike actually lasted until early December of 48, but by summertime, labels and musicians were finding ways around it. Guitarist Tiny Grimes also had a recording session on August 1st. Grimes was born in 1916 in Newport News, Virginia, and I've always wondered if this tune, Annie Laurie, refers to the old Scottish song or the rhythm and blues singer that was racking up hits with Paul Gayton at the time. Either way, you've got Red Prysock playing a mean tenor sax on this Annie Laurie. Here's the Tiny Grimes Quintet as we feature the beginning of Atlantic Records this week on The Juke in the Back. Thank you. The Applejack, baby. Recorded by Joe Morris and his orchestra on September 19th, 1948 in New York City. And what a band Joe Morris had at this time. The great Johnny Griffin is still blowing that tenor saxophone. And the soon-to-be legendary Philly Joe Jones is banging those tubs. While one of the giants of bebop piano, Elmo Hope, who often gets overshadowed by friends Thelonious Monk and Bud Powell, but is a great pianist in his own right. And we find Matthew G. on trombone, Joe McLemore on Barry Sax, and Percy Heath on bass. Of course, Joe Morris is blowing the trumpet. I'm At The Cat, and you're digging the juke in the back as we feature part one of Atlantic Records. And those early great records, a lot of them were instrumental and jazz-based rhythm and blues. Let's hear once again from Atlantic co-founder Ahmet Erdogan talking about the early hardships of Atlantic Records. From an interview I conducted with Ahmet a couple of years before he passed.
Well, the hardest part was finding any unsigned artists who would sell some records, you know. Among the first artists we had who were successful as record sellers were Errol Garner and Al Hibbler, Joe Morris, who had Johnny Griffin on tenor, who were two graduates of the Lionel Hampton Orchestra, who were playing a kind of post-bebop music, but infused with the blues and some tenor honking, which did okay. And we had Tiny Grimes, who was both a jazz guitar player and a rhythm and blues guitar player. And he had a great little quintet, and they did very well for us in the beginning. And those were the artists that really sustained us until we signed up Ivory Joe Hunter and Big Joe Turner and Laverne Baker and Ruth Brown.
And like Ahmet said, Atlantic kind of stumbled around for a little while until they secured better record distribution. But by mid-1949, they struck pay dirt. In a cat named Stick McGee, whose real name is Granville McGee, the younger brother of bluesman Brownie McGee. He got the nickname Stick because he used to push his older brother Brownie around in a wheelbarrow after Brownie contracted polio. He'd push the wheelbarrow with a stick. Brownie was already established in the blues world when younger brother Stick started coming up. In 1947, Stick's composition, Drinking Wine Spuddy Uddy, was issued by Harlem Records. Let's hear a clip of the original version of Drinking Wine Spuddy Uddy as it appeared on Harlem Records.
Down in Petersburg, everything's fine. All them cats is drinking that wine. Drinking that mess is their delight. When you get drunk, start singing all night. Drinking wine, spody, you to drink wine.
Bop, bop.
Wine, spody, you to drink wine.
Bop, bop.
Wine, spody, you to drink wine.
Bop, bop.
Pass that bottle to me. Drinking that mess is their delight. When it gets drunk, start fighting all night. Knock down windows and tear down doors. Drinking half gallons and calling for more. Drinking wine, spody, you to drink wine.
Bop, bop.
Wine, spody, you to drink wine.
Bop, bop.
Wine, spody, you to drink wine.
Bop, bop.
Pass that bottle to me. Hoy! Drink that mess. Oh, give me some of that slop.
Stick McGee, and you can hear his older brother Brownie in the background. Stick re-recorded that song for Atlantic on Valentine's Day, 1949. And by April, it was number two on the National Rhythm and Blues charts. Atlantic Records had their first solid, certified hit record. Drinking wine, spuddy uddy, drinking wine, bow, bow.
Down in New Orleans where everything's fine, all them cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess,
their delight. When it gets drunk, start singing all night, drinking wine, spurdy, drink wine,
mop, mop,
wine, spurdy, drink wine,
mop, mop,
wine, spurdy, drink wine,
mop, mop,
pass that bottle to me. Drinking that mess, their delight. When it gets drunk, start fighting all night. Knocking down the windows and tearing out doors. Drinking half a gallon and calling for more. Drinking wine, spurdy, drink wine,
mop, mop.
Wine, spurdy, drink wine,
mop, mop.
Wine, spurdy, drink wine,
mop, mop.
Pass that bottle to me. Hoy, hoy, hoy.
Wine, wine, wine.
Elderberry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Or cherry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Blackberry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Half and half.
Wine, wine, wine.
Oh boy, pass that bottle to me. If you want to get along, New Orleans town, buy some wine and pass it all around. Age runs up, 49. All those cats, they love sweet wine. Drinking wine, spurdy, drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Wine, spurdy, drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Wine, spurdy, drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Pass that bottle to me. Hoy, hoy.
Wine, wine, wine.
Elderberry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Port cherry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Blackberry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Half and half.
Wine, wine, wine.
Oh boy, pass that bottle to me. Drink that slop. That's what I'm talking about. Ah, drink it. Sneaky Pete. Down on Rampa Street at Willie's Den. He wasn't selling but a little gin. One cat wanted a bottle of wine. If that cat for a dollar and a dime. Drinking wine, spurdy, drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Wine, spurdy, drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Wine, spurdy, drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Pass that bottle to me. Hoy, hoy.
Wine, wine, wine.
Elderberry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Port cherry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Blackberry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Half and half.
Wine, wine, wine.
Oh boy, pass that bottle to me. I got a nickel, have you got a dime? Let's get together and get a little wine. Some buys a fifth, some buys a quart. But when you buy sherry, now you're doing things smart. Drinking wine, spurdy, drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Drinking wine, spurdy, drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Wine, spurdy, drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Pass that bottle to me.
Now it's time for the Great 78, where we take a thick piece of shellac and harken back to a time when 78 RPM records were king. As we feature Atlantic Records, we're focusing on the different styles that Atlantic was releasing during these early years. Lots of jazz-influenced instrumentals, some jump blues, and even some down-home blues. Here's a blues guitarist from Mississippi, who got his start working as a chicken shacker with Amos Milburn in the late 1940s, before jumping over to the New Atlantic label, where he would go on to play guitar backing Ruth Brown. Here we find him on a solo outing, a session recorded in New York City on April 6th, 1949. He recorded 5 songs that day, but only 2 were issued on his only solo single for Atlantic Records. He would become an accomplished blues musician in his own right, passing away at the age of 85 in 2013. He's this week's Great 78. Texas Johnny Brown and his Blues Rockers with There Goes the Blues. Thank you.
walking out my door. There goes the blues, walking out my door. Yes, when the blues walked out, I felt better than I ever felt before. Yes, when my baby walked in, the blues moved out. No more standing around the corner with my folks out. Oh, Miss Blue, I won't be bothered with you no more. Well, I'm living good now, and I don't care where you go.
I'm Bobby the Bobcat, you're where it's at, and I'm digging the juke in the bag.
Don't ask me why I love you so much. I couldn't tell you if I tried. It's more than I know. And so don't ask me why. Don't ask me why. You thrill me so much, for I never dreamed it could be that you above all could fall in love with me. Darling, all that I know is when you are near, the angels are singing and heaven is here. But the moment you're gone, that old deep down feeling comes on. Don't ask me why I couldn't go through my life without you. Wouldn't try. I'm letting you know, and so don't ask me why.
Darling, all that I know is when you are near, the angels are singing and heaven is here.
But the moment you are gone, that old deep down feeling comes on.
Don't ask me why.
Just why I couldn't go through my life without you. Wouldn't try. I'm letting you know, and so
Now that's a keeper. A group calling themselves the Four Sharps cut a session on March 1st, or thereabouts, 1949 for Atlantic Records. And as best as I can figure, they're the first vocal group released on Atlantic. But the Four Sharps were actually an alias for the Delta Rhythm Boys, who were recording for both Decca and the Victor label. So baby, they had to go incognito for Atlantic as the Four Sharps. But in a matter of months, they would record under their own name for Atlantic. And they'd also end up backing Ruth Brown on a couple of records. Oh, speaking of Miss Rhythm Ruth Brown, she's just getting going here in 1949. Let's hear again from an interview I conducted with Ahmet Erdogan, co-founder of Atlantic Records, on how he brought Ruth Brown to the label.
Willis Conover, who was an old friend of mine in Washington, who was running the music program for Voice of America, called me up and told me that there was a terrific young girl singing in a place called the Club Caverns, which is a subterranean nightclub in Washington. And he said, you should come down here. So Herb and I went down, and she was singing a song called So Long, which was a big favorite of a girl who I thought was a fabulous singer, Little Miss Cornshucks. And Little Miss Cornshucks had this song, which she killed people with in the nightclubs. I couldn't find Miss Cornshucks anywhere. But Ruth Brown had a wonderful, sang a wonderful version of that same song, very much in the same manner as Cornshucks. And if you listen to her record, which was her first record on Atlantic of So Long, she has a sound that on that record that you don't hear on any of her other records, because she had that Miss Cornshucks feel. Mm-hmm. It was a great record.
She sounds sweeter on that record than Tough. She gets tougher on some of her later records.
That's right.
So long. Hope we'll meet again someday. Oh, that maybe then you'll say, darling, so long. This can never be goodbye. We'll just say so long.
Mm-hmm. you're tired of me. It's plain to see I was just a mere sensation. Now that we're through, I'll get along somehow. I wanted love. You promised love, but all you gave was conversation. Though I miss you, I'll get along somehow. Making a lot of money now, and you're too big for poor little me. How soon you forgot all the promises that you made. Yes, you forgot, baby, and success has gone to your head. I'm holding in my hand 3 very short letters, dear. I'd like to read them to you. Your first letter read, "Oh, my dear, my darling one, I'm ever so thankful for the things that you've done." Your second letter came just after I'd given you a start, but it came from your pen, baby, and not from your heart. I'm holding in my hand your third letter, and that's the joker that comes with every day. For here you said, "Dear Ruth, enclosed find all of my checks." Oh, you poor, poor little fool. Do you think that money could pay for all the many hours that I've wasted to see you on your way? Well, I'm broke now, baby, and I haven't got a dime. But I thank God somebody cared and told me just in time. I have no crime for which I have to be ashamed, nothing for which I have to bow my head. My only crime was that I loved you too much, just a little too much. Now I have left again just one picture.
Brown with Buddy Johnson's orchestra, coming off our third session for Atlantic, held on September 18th, 1949. A desperate attempt to compete with Larry Darnell's enormous hit of I'll Get Along Somehow. When Atlantic first issued I'll Get Along Somehow, they put rock and blues on the B-side. But they felt to better compete with Larry Darnell's version, they might as well have Ruth Brown do her interpretation of those famous recitations. So they issued the record again with part one on one side and I'll Get Along Somehow part two with the recitations on the B side. Larry Darnell's version went to number two. Ruth Brown failed to chart at all. Although a couple of years after this, she would record a song called The Three Letters, which was another interpretation of those recitations. You dig, baby? Before that, So Long, from Ruth Brown's first session with Atlantic, May 25th, 1949, and backed by Eddie Condon's NBC Television Orchestra. Ahmet Erdogan knew what he was doing, having her record the Little Miss Cornshuck song, So Long, as it went to number four on the national rhythm and blues lists and served as Atlantic's second hit record behind Stick McGee's Drinking Wine Spuddy Uddy. Atlantic Records in the 1950s would be referred to as the house that Ruth built, because Ruth Brown would continue to have so many hit records. And that wraps up part one of our 14-part series on Atlantic Records. Join me next week where we'll pick up here at the end of 1949 and carry it into 1950. I hope you can join me for part two, baby. Have a wonderful week, everybody.
Well, we've run out of whiskey and the women have all gone home. Thanks for dropping by. Feel free to let Matt the Cat know if you dug the show. Email him at mattthecat@mattthecat.com. Juke in the Back is recorded at Rosie's Juke Joint, located at the Stepping Stone Inn in Salem, Massachusetts. For more information, please visit jukeintheback.org. I'm Miss Rosie. See you next time on the Juke in the Back.